Good morning. Good to be back out with you this morning. Has any of you ever heard of the expression, I can hear the dipper banging against the bottom of the bucket? Have you ever heard that expression? I've heard it before. Old timers used to say it like whenever you was running out of steam, whenever you was running out of gas or something was, you know, getting a little weak. I've heard them say that. They said, boy, I can hear that person. That guy's dipper running right against the bottom of the pail. He ain't got nothing left, more or less what they were trying to say. You know what I mean? Keep that in mind and turn to John, the 7th chapter, if you would, please. John 7, 7th chapter, 37 through 39. Verses 37, 38, and 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let us pray. Father, I want to come to you this morning again with thanksgiving in my heart. I want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings and for all that you give us, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for this little church beside the way. I want to thank you for the opportunity I have to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, now that you would use me, Lord. And, Lord, you know, best, most of all, get me out of the way, Lord. Just use me, Lord, in the way that you would have it to be done. And Jesus will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And amen. Amen. I've read to you one of the most remarkable, probably, and challenging statements found in the New Testament right there. Whenever he said, if anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. These words were spoken by Jesus to people that, you know, listen, that they were like so many people today were, but they were spoken to a people who were, you know what, going through religious rituals, going through the motions, going through ceremonies. You know what? That's exactly what they were doing. That's why Jesus said this to who he said it to. Because they were going through, and I'll explain to you a little bit more about why he said it. But you know what? They had lost the real meaning of what life was about. Victory in their walk, they had lost that. You know what? It's too easy just to go through the motions, is it not? It's too easy for us to come and just go through the motions sometimes. It's just too easy. Do something just because it's expected of us, right? Is that not right? Is it not easy to do that? You know what? We treat serving God like it's some kind of drudgery. Do we not do that sometimes? There are people that I have seen do that. They treat serving God like it's some kind of a drudge, like it's some kind of a weight against them, holding them back. You know what? I don't think it's what David meant when he said in Psalms 122:1, when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David wasn't talking about drudgery there, was he not? He was happy. He was excited when the opportunity came to go to God's house. Amen? I'll tell you what, we should have that feeling. You know what? Church and serving God should not be like a to-do list that we have at the house or we have at work. I went to church. Check. We sang a song. Check. I listened to the teaching. Check. I listened to the preaching. Check. I've done my duty. Let's get out of here so I can go do what I really want to do. Amen or oh my. I tell you, church should not be like that. Serving God should be, there should be a joy in serving Lord. Listen, my math may be incorrect on this. I've never told you I was a math major, but listen to this. If we go to church, at every service we attend church at Drift Run, that's 2 hours on Sunday morning, that's an hour on Sunday night, and that's an hour on Wednesday night. Listen to me. You know what that is? That's 192 hours a year that we can serve God. 192 hours. Now, just to put this in perspective, do you know how many hours we have in a year? 8,760 hours we have in a year. That's how many hours we have. And you know what? We can go to church 192 hours. And we don't all go every service. I know that. But that's if we go every one. And you know what? And let's just take it into consideration. You know, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that takes it down to 5,840 hours. You go to work 40 hours a week. That takes it down to 3,920 hours. You know what? That leaves us with right around 3,728 hours, and we can't even give God 192 hours sometimes, even of that. We can't even do that sometimes. That's 100. You know what? Just think about this. How many days is that a year? It equals out to 8 days a year that we go to church. 8 full days. 8 full days. 365 days a year, and we have 8 full days that we can serve God. And you know what? And you take out all everything else I said, 155 free days, and we have 8 days of that. I'm going to tell you what. Serving God should not be a drudgery to us, right? It doesn't take up none of our time. Yet we think it does. Yet we think it does. Not only was Jesus crying out to them then, He's crying out and emphatically telling us today, listen, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and he can, and I will give you what you need to drink. Amen? You know what? Is your bucket back here this morning? Is it empty? Is it back there and you cannot feel the Spirit of God in your life? For that's what He was talking about. And you know what? When we come to church and God blesses us and He sets our feet on fire, I tell you what, I love coming to a Spirit-filled service. Do you not? I tell you what, it sets me on fire. It gives me strength to go to the next week. And I'll tell you what, my bucket sometimes, I'll tell you what, it can get awful low. And I was thinking about this, and I asked Roy and Debbie if they had a bucket. I didn't even have a bucket. And they brought me a bucket. But I'll tell you that, I'll tell you, whenever you think about this stuff, you know what, it gets out. To better understand why Jesus cried out to them, you know what we got to do? We got to understand what the Feast of the Tabernacle was all about. And that's where He cried out about this. Listen, the Feast of the Tabernacle was God's reminder to His people about how that He had brought them out of Egypt and how they had to live in a nomadic way in the desert for all those years in the wilderness. That was God's way of reminding them. You know what they had to do? Whenever they had to leave their permanent dwellings and they had to go out and build booths out of palm trees and out of willows, and that's what they lived in during the time at Jerusalem and during the time around the temple. That's what the Feast of the Tabernacle was. There was a great amount of sacrifice going on at that time. Listen, more than any other time, listen to this. They killed 71 bullocks, 15 rams, and 105 sheep in that week. That's what they killed. And every one of them had to be without spot and without blemish. You can read that over in Numbers 29 chapter. Once every 7 years, the law of Moses was read at this. Once every 7 years, they'd read the law of Moses, because that's found in Deuteronomy 31. During the Feast of Water, too, water was taken from the Pool of Siloam and was carried to the temple and poured upon the altar. They did this once a day for the 7 days. They did this. Now listen, I want you to remember that in your mind. I'm going to get back to that here in a little bit. And whenever they did this, the people sang the 12th chapter of Isaiah. They sung it aloud. They sang it. Every 50th year was the year of Jubilee. I know I'm getting to a lot of stuff, but I've got a point. And the year of Jubilee was a great Jubilee declaring liberty. And every 50th year, that happened right before the festival, the Feast of the Tabernacles, when it happened. There was so much ritual, so much pomp involved in this festival, and Jesus knew that this was what it was becoming. It was just becoming a ritual. It was just becoming a pomp, and Jesus knew it. He knew their hearts. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. Listen to me. Jesus knows your heart this morning. He knows exactly why you got up out of that bed this morning. He knows why you come to this church this morning. He knows your heart. I could sit up here and look at you all day, and I would not know what's on your heart. Don't want to know what's on your heart. But to tell you something this morning, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit knows exactly where you're at this morning. He knows what your heart's all that. He knows, would you hurry up? He knows everything. It's in everybody's hearts here this morning. He knows what's being said. He knew what was being said right then. So, you know, He knows. Now, back to the pouring of the water at the altar. Daily, on the seventh day, it happened again, but the seventh day is why we get to the point to where Jesus cried out like He did. When the parade of people went to the Pool of Siloam, the priest would march around the altar on the seventh day. Why? Because they were celebrating how that whenever they marched around the walls of Jericho, that they were, that's what they were celebrating when they did that. The second thing would be, whenever they got ready to pour out the pitchers, and the pitchers were empty. There was nothing in them. Nothing. They would march all the way down there and pretend like they got the water and bring it back. And what that represented was all the disobedient people that did the disobedience, and whenever they were in the wilderness, and God would not let them. And they would do that. And you know what? And they did the moment that this meaningless stuff happened, that's when Jesus stood up. And remember this. Jesus stood up. He stood up. That's important. He stood up and he cried. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He knew what was going through. They were just going through the motion. But Jesus knew that there was no meaning, no power, and no life in the service that these people were doing. He knew it. He knew it. It started right from the priest. He knew it went right down through the people. And you know what? He had watched it for a week, and Jesus had had enough of it. You know what? He knew it. He knew that. They found themselves right where they'd started out at. Nothing has changed, folks. Nothing's any different some 2,000 years later in churches across this world today. Nothing is any different. You don't think so? There's more ritualistic stuff going on in churches of God anymore. They don't want to listen. They just want to go in and have their program set. They have everything done. And you know what? There's no time for the Holy Spirit to work. They don't want Him to work. They don't want anyone. It's still happening in church. People are going to church filled with hope, filled with dreams and expectations. You know what? And all too often, they come to church with those things in their mind, and the Spirit of God is not in these churches. The Spirit of God is not here to set people's lives on fire and let them know that God is still a working God. God is still a alive God. You know what? I want to tell you something. When I'm done preaching, I go home and I look in the mirror, and this is no lie. I say, Lord, I said, did I do that? And I'll tell you what, it worries me. It makes me say, God, please never, ever let me leave these people. So what I'm talking about, do you let the water better? Do you do that? I hope not. I hope and pray not, brother. They only hear the dipper banging against the bottom of the bucket. I don't want them to hear that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit comes to a preacher, not when he is studying. Do you understand this? Here comes when I'm in my prayer closet down through the week. It doesn't come through all the studying, all the notes I may lay out here, everything that I may do. It comes through praying and being able to know what is needed. That's what it comes to. What Jesus so loudly and publicly proclaimed to one and all is an invitation, but then a promise He gave them to you and to me. If my bucket's empty, if your bucket is empty, He said, come. He said, come unto me. And I want you, He will fill it up beyond anything that you can ever imagine. Amen? Amen? Amen. He can do that. You see, there's nothing on this earth can take the place of the Holy Spirit whenever it's working in your life. Marriage can't do it. Family can't do it. You know what? The athletics can't do it. All the academics, achievement, all that you can throw out there will never completely satisfy us like whenever Jesus Christ truly comes into our heart. Amen? I want to tell you what. I've thought about this down through the years since I've got saved. And I want like the night that I met Jesus Christ. I want you to know that there's no doubt in my mind. No doubt. Yes, certainly there are happy events in our life. We all have them. We do. But those events are fleeting, are they not? They're fleeting. They go before we know it. We're searching for the next thing. Why? Because as human beings, we are the next event. We're longing for the next thing. I want you to know something. When I found Jesus, I found my longing. Amen. I found it. There was no doubt in my mind. I'll tell you that. Everything we desire is found in Him. And infinitely more. Amen. Everything that we have and want is in Him. Jesus is the answer to our riches. When I get my bucket full, and my message goes out the way that the Spirit and Jesus Christ wants it to go out, I want you to know, I believe that your buckets can be full. And you know what? All you have to do is have your bucket there and ready to catch what God pours out unto us. Amen? The conditions described. The first thing we can see there, he is an expressed, you know, desperation is what it is. You know what? You know this. We can live longer without food than we can water. You know that? You're thirsty. More than more. You are thirsty for... Are you thirsty here this morning? If you are, listen to me. Don't go out of here unfulfilled. Don't go out of here with... Because you know why? As I said, you're going to live longer without food. But whenever you're thirsty, you're going to die eventually. And are you thirsty for the Word of God? Are you thirsty for God this morning? God will meet you, man, on the level that you desire. Do you understand that? I'll tell you what... In other words, you can have as much of God as people seem like that they're more in tune with God because they desire more of God. How much do you desire God? Do you really and truly want to know God for what He is? I tell you, get your nose buried in the Word of God. Get your nose buried in your prayer closet. Get your nose buried in serving Him, and then tell Him that you won't learn more of Him, that you won't desire more of Him. I've seen it. I know. You know what? Do you have an unsatisfied need for God in your life? Because if you do, I want you to know something this morning. God is there to meet that need. He is there to meet it. Amen? You can have as much as God. Psalms 42:1-2 says, "As the heart panteth, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Do you know what happens to too many people's lives? They're not searching for the living God, Greg. They're not. They're searching for dead gods out here. They try to find and satisfy their thirst by dead gods out here in the world. And you know what happens? That thirst is maybe satisfied for just a little bit, but then it comes back. I want you to know something. Whenever Jesus came into my heart, my thirst was satisfied. Patient was come. Listen, Jesus stood to the extent, the invitation of the crowd. Why is that significant? Because the teachers in those days never stood. They always sat. And whenever they sat, they taught. But you know what? Who stood and give a, who cried out? That was somebody called an imperial herald. That was somebody that the king or Caesar sent. Those are the ones that were lords. We have the King of Kings, and He has offered you a complete invitation. Come! And He stood, and He proclaimed it. Because you know why? He could. He could. Those who stood, before He, nobody else stood to teach like He did. The invitation, it was an invitation to come to a person. Do you understand that? It wasn't an invitation to come to a church meeting. It wasn't an invitation to come to Bible study. It wasn't an invitation. That is where we fall short sometimes. We need to invite people to church. Don't get me wrong. But you know what's more important? We need to invite them to know who Jesus is. That's what the invitation. We are standing where it stands today. That you know what? That the church down the road is where it's at. It's because they serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Was made. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Now I want to tell you something. Jay, it wasn't a trickle, was it? Amen. It wasn't a trickle. It wasn't just a little drip. He says, out of their belly shall flow rivers. You understand, right? You understand? The mighty Andes River down in South America, it goes for 3,600 miles, pushing out 1.4 million gallons of fresh water per second. It pushes fresh water 60 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean. The Amazon River I'm talking about. It starts in the end. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, and my Bible tells me you shall have rivers, I'm going to tell you what, just think, wrap your mind around that. It's no trickle. It's not something that's just a gentle brook. It's rivers of living water flowing out from us. It's powerful. It's spiritual. It's what God has for us. Amen? Jesus did not promise that. That a trickle or a stream. He promised us a river. If your bucket is dry, I want you to know some. Jesus is the answer to it all. Listen, Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're here this morning and you are hungering and thirsting after the things of God, I want to tell you, that is a promise from God. You come to this altar and you shall be filled. He didn't just say that. He meant it. Amen. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that He's talking about the Spirit of God. When we drink of it, when we truly thirst and we go get those. Notice that Jesus uses the plural, not river, but rivers. You know why he does that? This is why I believe he does it. Listen, you see, only God knows what you can and should be doing, right? He knows it through a spirit-filled life. He knows what you can do through a spirit-filled life. God knows that. He knows it. He knows the possibilities are unlimited in your life. Don't go away from here this morning dry. Don't do that. Don't go away from here this morning. If you're here this morning and you feel like this, there's nothing. You feel like, oh, I know, Lord. I know you did. But I can't, for some reason, I'm not feeling the way I should. I can't feel it. He's made a promise to you. You come unto me. You come unto me. Not me. You come unto Jesus. Get to this altar. And you know what I wouldn't do if I was you? I wouldn't walk up here. I'd run up here. I'd get that bucket turned up, and I'd have where you could feel the power of the Holy Spirit in your life again.